Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's good to see everyone here this morning. We're glad you're here. Hope you've had a good week. As we ramp up for the fall, football's coming and games have already started and life is rolling by, isn't it? We're going to be in Acts 21 and 22 today, and it's kind of an extensive passage of Scripture, so I'm gonna skip a little bit because it would just take too long to read basically both chapters what we'll be looking at. And so beginning in verse 1, and like I said, I'm going to skip around a little bit just to save a little bit of time. And when we had parted from them and set sail, we came by a straight course to Kos, and the next day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And having found a ship crossing to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we had come in the sight of Cyprus, leaving it on the left, we sailed to Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload its cargo. Having sought out the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days, and through the Spirit they were telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem. When our days were ended, we departed and went on our journey, and they all, with wives and children, accompanying us until we were outside the city, and kneeling down on the beach, we prayed and said farewell to one another. Then we went on board, and they returned home. When we had finished the voyage from Tyre, we arrived at Ptolemais, and we greeted the brothers and stayed with them for 1 day. On the next day, we departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. He had 4 unmarried daughters who prophesied. While we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." When we heard this, we and the people there urged him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, "Let the will of the Lord be done." Skip to verse 17. When we had come to Jerusalem, the brothers received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went with us to James, and all the elders were present. After greeting them, he related one by one the things that God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified God, and they said to him, "You see, brothers, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed. They are zealous for the law, and they have been told about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise the Jews who are among the circumcise their children or walk according to our customs. What then is to be done? They will certainly hear you have come. Do therefore what we tell you. We have 4 men who are under vow. Take these men and purify yourselves along with them and pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads. Thus all will know that there is nothing in what they have been told, but that you yourselves also live in observance of the law." Skip to verse 26. And Paul took the men, and the next day he purified himself along with them and went into the temple, giving notice when the days of purification would be fulfilled, and the offering presented for each one of them. When the 7 days were almost completed, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who's teaching everyone everywhere against the people and the law and this place. Moreover, he even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place." For they had previously seen Trophimus the Ephesian with him in the city, and they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple. Then all the city was stirred up, and the people ran together. They seized Paul and dragged him out of the temple, and at once the gates were shut. And as they were seeking to kill him, word came to the tribune of the cohort that all Jerusalem was in confusion. He at once took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the tribune and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the tribune came up and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with 2 chains. Verse 37. As Paul was about to be brought into the barracks, he said to the tribune, "May I say something to you?" And he said, "Do you know Greek?" Are you not the Egyptian then who recently stirred up the revolt and led 4,000 men of assassins into the wilderness? Paul replied, I'm a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no obscure city. I beg you, permit me to speak to the people. And when he had given him permission, Paul, standing on the steps, motioned with his hand to the people. And when there was a great hush, he addressed them in the Hebrew language, saying, Brothers and fathers, hear the defense I'm now making before you. And when they heard that he was addressing them in Hebrew, they became even more quiet. And he said, I'm a Jew born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the laws of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are this day. I persecuted this way to death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of the elders can witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those who were being there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus, about noon a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you. And since I could not see because of the brightness of the light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And he said, The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him of every one of what you have seen and heard. And what now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw him saying to me, Make haste, get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him. And he said to me, Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Up to this word they listened to him. Then they raised their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the proclamation of his word. Many of you may have seen this week Kathy Lee Gifford's tribute to her late husband Frank on the Today Show. I think it was last Monday. You may have noticed that her tribute was posted on multiple news outlets and websites, and I've seen people post it to their Facebook pages. As we say in our day, it went viral, right? Kathy Lee Gifford's husband, Frank, died suddenly and unexpectedly on Sunday, August the 9th. I'm sure that was probably one of the most difficult things she ever had to face in her life. The sudden death of her husband, who she said 2 days before had the best checkup he'd had in years. On Monday, her tribute to him included a very bold witness of the gospel of Jesus. In the midst of maybe the most difficult circumstances she'd faced in life, she shared Jesus with more people probably than at any other time in her entire life. Paul was getting ready to enter the most difficult phase of his life. He was soon to be in prison, and he was going to spend years confined. However, that doesn't mean the gospel is confined. That doesn't mean he was entering a phase of less fruitfulness in his life. You see, during this time, Paul probably accomplished more for the kingdom of God than in all the rest of his life put together, even though it was the most difficult part of his life. And I think we need to see something in the life of the Apostle Paul that we often see in the lives of many believers, that life's most difficult circumstances provide opportunity for believers to declare the good news of Jesus and the glory of God. Life's most difficult circumstances often provide opportunity for us to declare the good news of Jesus and the glory of God. You see, the truth is, difficulties come to us all. Difficult circumstances happen. It's not a matter of if they happen. It's a matter of when. They will come to your life. Just because you're a believer, it doesn't shield you from the difficulties of life. And sometimes, because you are a believer, you will have difficulties that other people will not have. God knows they're coming, and he wants to work through you to bear witness to Jesus and bring glory to himself. So how do we come to the place where we're ready and willing, and God can work through us to share his good news and to bring glory to Jesus in maybe the most difficult things we face in life? Well, first of all, I want to point out a couple things from this passage of Scripture. Prepare for difficult circumstances by walking with God and his people today. Prepare for difficult circumstances by walking with God and his people today. The Scripture tells us that Paul was compelled by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem. He was constrained. He was pushed. He was warned everywhere he went that there was going to be some difficulties he would face, but he knew that that's what he had to do. And so he travels from Miletus to Tyre to Ptolemais to Caesarea on his way to Jerusalem. And everywhere he stops, he meets the believers. In the city of Tyre, the language indicates that he searched for the believers. Maybe there wasn't a big group of believers in Tyre, but he sought out to find the believers in his 7-day layover in that city. And Paul met them. Evidently, they didn't know him. He might not have ever been in Tyre, but he sought out the believers, and he spent 7 days with them, getting to know them. And it was such a close bond that developed in that short period of time that when he left, they knelt on the beach. They brought their wives and children, and all of them knelt on the beach to pray for Paul. Well, everywhere he went, the Holy Spirit kept informing him of the difficulties that lie ahead when he got to Jerusalem. In Caesarea, he stayed with Philip and his 4 daughters who had to get the prophecy. You see, God gives his gifts. He doesn't discriminate when he gives his gifts. But anyway, Philip had 4 daughters who had to get the prophecy. And there was another prophet who came from Jerusalem. His name was Agabus. And when Agabus got there, he took Paul's belt and he tied himself up and bound himself. And he said, "This is what's going to happen to the owner of this belt when he gets to Jerusalem. He's going to be bound." And when the other believers in Caesarea saw this, they began to beg Paul, basically, "Don't go. Don't go." And even, we believe Luke was the writer of the book of Acts, and he said, we tried to dissuade him. Because they knew that going to Jerusalem, bad stuff was going to happen. And they wanted Paul to be spared, as all of us. We all want people that we love to be spared from difficult times. But sometimes, as we talked about last week, you have to go through the difficult times. And Paul knew he was supposed to. But Paul said, "You're breaking my heart." In fact, there's a picture of him, just pounding on his heart and trying to break down his resolve to go to Jerusalem. And he said, "Stop doing that. I know this is what I'm supposed to do. I know this is what I'm supposed to do." And so he met with the believers everywhere he went. He heard from God. Now, why would God warn him if he didn't want him not to go? Well, he didn't warn him to say don't go. He warned him to let him know what was going to come. See, God was preparing him. As he was fellowshipping with believers, as he was hearing from the Lord through them, and that's how we hear from the Lord a lot of times. We hear from the Lord through believers. You can't know the will of God when you're in isolation. You have to be involved with the body, with the church. So they were telling him, don't go. They were warning him, basically. The Holy Spirit was warning him of what was ahead. He was walking with God. He was walking with people. And he was being prepared for the difficulty that was coming very soon to his life. Because he was faithful, because he spent time with the people of God, because he walked with God, he was prepared for what was going to come. You know, we often don't realize that God's always preparing us for the trials of tomorrow. You remember when David fought Goliath? You know, nobody else would fight him, and David said, I'll fight him. And so Saul was desperate. He didn't want to fight him. So he I'll let this kid fight him. But then he looked at him and he said, you're just a kid. He's been a warrior for a long time, and you're just a kid. And David, what did David say? David said, you know, I've taken care of the sheep. And when a bear came after it or a lion came after it, I killed the lion and I killed the bear, and he will be like one of those. Goliath will be like a lion or a bear to me. And the truth was, God had been preparing David for his battle with Goliath for many years. You see, when you walk faithfully with God, you're being prepared for whatever is ahead. So we have to be faithful to God today in order to be ready to face tomorrow. You know, sometimes, you know, people who don't realize the effects of their decisions today. I mean, they don't realize that the choices you make today affect you down the road. Young people, if you're in high school, you know, you're getting ready to go to college, the next 10 years you will make choices that will affect the rest of your life. You will make some decisions. Will you follow Jesus or will you not follow Jesus if you haven't already decided that? That's the biggest choice. And I pray that you'll follow him because there's no other way to live. But who you marry, who your friends are, that'll make a huge impact. What you choose today will make a difference in your life tomorrow. When we faithfully walk with God, it prepares us for our life tomorrow. So choose correctly today. Walk with God today. Do you remember the movie The Karate Kid? You know, I know I'm dating myself, but I know there's the new version with the Jaden, what's his name? You know, Jaden Smith. Yeah, yeah. And I've seen both, but you remember in the old version, you know, Mr. Miyagi is training Daniel to be to do this fight, and he takes him out and he takes him to his, he's got a bunch of old cars, and he makes him wax them. And he says, wax on. You know, he says, when you put the wax on, you know, you go this way. And when you take the wax off, you go this way. Wax on, wax off. Well, Daniel had done about 10 of his cars, and he was getting pretty sick of, you know, waxing Mr. Miyagi's cars. And he got mad, and he talked to him, and Mr. Miyagi kind of showed him that in the training and the waxing of the car, he was helping him develop defensive maneuvers for karate. You see, I think life is like that. You know, I think God is always trying to prepare us for what's ahead. You prepare for what's ahead by being faithful to God today. And walking with his people today. That's how you prepare for what's ahead. That's how you prepare. Living faithfully today prepares us for facing difficult circumstances tomorrow. I think there's another way that we come to the place where during the difficult circumstances of life we'll be the witness that we ought to be and glorify God, and that's this. Remember God's all-knowing care when difficulties come through unexpected avenues. Now, Paul and his companions arrived in Jerusalem. They met the church there, and they reported all that God was doing in the Gentiles and how he was bringing multitudes of people all over the known world to faith, and churches were being started, and lives were being changed, and God was being glorified. He met with James and the other leaders of the church. And as he met with them, they said, we got a problem here we think maybe you can help us with. The people, you see, Paul had been gone from Jerusalem for a long time. and he was bringing an offering to the church. And as I said, he was compelled to come to the church. And so they said, the rumor's out that you encourage Jewish people to not circumcise their children and not keep traditions of the Jews. Now you remember Paul's basic ministry. Well, it was to Jews and Gentiles. Everywhere he went into the synagogues. He preached basically until they kicked him out, and then he preached to the Gentiles. When he preached to the Gentiles, he'd say, you don't have to become a Jew to be saved. If you will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. And to the Jews, he said, you can put your faith in Jesus. But in saying to the Jews that they had to be saved by grace through faith, like everybody has to be saved by grace through faith, he didn't tell them to reject their traditions and their culture. He didn't tell them to reject their traditions and their culture. But the rumor was he was out there telling Jewish people not to be Jewish. You know, missionaries have made mistakes sometimes when they've gone into places and they've tried to change people's culture instead of allowing them to be Christians in their culture. And so that was the rumor. And there were a lot of new Jewish believers, and there were others who heard this rumor who thought Paul was teaching them. The word used is very strong. It's apostatized from Moses. It's you're telling people to reject Moses. And Paul was not telling people to reject Moses. He was not telling people to reject their Jewish culture. He was just telling them that doesn't save you. Only Jesus saves. If you're a Jew, keep being a Jew. If you're a Gentile, be a Gentile. You don't have to be a Jew. But the rumor was he was encouraging people to reject their Jewish culture. Now, this has to be put a little bit in historical context. This, when Paul went to Jerusalem, it's probably around 55, 56 AD. Jewish nationalism was on the rise. It was on the rise. It wouldn't be very many years before the zealots among the Jewish people came out. Rome put the hammer down, the people rebelled, and Titus came in just less than 15 years and destroyed Jerusalem. That was the atmosphere that Paul was in. And so they were trying to say, these elders who were in Jerusalem, who were trying to reach more people with the gospel in their own city, they said, if you'll do this, this will help the Jewish Christians to know that you're not encouraging Jews to reject Jewish culture. And so they said, pay for the vows of these four men. Pay for the vows. And when the Christians see you doing this, the believers, and even maybe some on the fringe, they'll know that you're not encouraging people to reject Moses and reject their Jewishness. And so Paul thought that's a good idea. And he went along with it. He was trying to create peace in the body. He was trying to make a way for the Jewish church to continue to reach Jewish people with the gospel. And so he went into the temple and he informed them that he was going to do this. And then during this week, during these 7 days, he wasn't publicly preaching. He wasn't out there, you know, in the temple preaching. He was kind of being a little laid back. On the day that he went, the last day to pay for these men, he was spotted by some brother, some Jewish people in Ephesus. Evidently, they knew who he was. And when they saw him, they didn't like him when he was in Ephesus, and they sure didn't like seeing him in Jerusalem. And so basically, they started a riot. They said, help us get this guy. He's teaching everybody against our law and against this place. Think about it. Paul hadn't been preaching publicly. He'd been to himself. He was just trying to make peace in the church, trying to encourage Jewish Christians. He wasn't doing any of the things that he normally did that got him in trouble. And now, out of the blue, It's not out of the blue because the Lord had been warning him, but all unexpectedly, from an unexpected source, there's a riot. They drag Paul out of the temple. They close the door. And that's a very interesting phrase. When the last mention of the temple in the book of Acts is saying they shut the door. That's very interesting. It's kind of a closure that so many had rejected Jesus. But anyway, they dragged Paul out, and they were basically beating him. They wanted to kill him. That was their deal. They wanted to kill Paul. This mob wanted to kill him. They falsely accused him of bringing a Greek in the temple. Paul had been with a Greek in the city, but he had not brought that Greek in the temple that said supposedly. And so basically they wanted to kill him. And what a turn of events that this was. What a turn of events. All of a sudden, minding his own business, basically just ministering to the church, boom, he's dragged out, he's arrested, he's being beaten. You ever had life go that way for you? You ever had life go in a completely different direction than what you thought was going to happen? You ever set out to accomplish something and you find yourself in the middle of chaos? You know, I think of the children's book when I read this. Alexander and the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Wow. Now, what do you do at those times? What do you do when all of a sudden life is chaos all around you and you're getting beat up? Well, the first thing I think you should do is remember that even though you might not have known it was coming, this did not sneak up on God. God didn't wake up and say, "Oh no, Paul's getting beat up in the temple." You see, when things happen that we don't expect, and when life turns to chaos, God knows that it's coming. He knows we're going to face it. And yes, He will empower you and enable you to face whatever comes if you're following Him. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes. You know, there have been times in life and ministry that man, something happened that was so unexpected, and I just wanted to solve it right then. You ever had something? I don't like problems. I want them to be done with. And something happens, and everything in me says, do something now, do something." But there's a verse in Ecclesiastes that said, "There's a proper time and procedure for every matter, though a man's misery weighs heavily upon him." You see, at those times, I got to stop. And I got to say, "Lord, I didn't know this was coming, but this did not sneak up on you. Right now, I don't know how to handle it. And right now, if I do anything, it's probably the wrong thing. Lord, help me to wait on you. Help me to be led by your Spirit. Help me not to react to the circumstances of my life, the difficult things of my life, but to trust that you're going to guide me, that you're going to bring me through this, and just wait on doing anything until you tell me to do it." Never forget that God knows what you're going to face. So we got to be walking with the people of God, and we got to be walking with God. We have to remember that God knows what we're facing, and He knows how to help us through it. And then I think there's one more thing that we can remember and that we can do when the difficult times hit. We can proclaim the great news of Jesus as difficult circumstances often provide the greatest platform for our witness. The mob surrounded Paul. They dragged him out of the temple. At the northwest corner of the temple, there was the Tower of Antonia. Herod had built this tower, and that's where the Roman soldiers were stationed. Because usually whenever trouble happened in Jerusalem, it happened around the temple area. And so Herod wanted to make it so that if trouble happened, Roman troops could come pouring out of that tower and they could put an end to the trouble. And Romans had a dim view of rioting and they didn't want it, and they would do whatever they could to squelch those kind of things. And so at the northwest corner of the temple, the complex, the temple complex stood the Tower of Antonio. The Roman soldiers, the tribune, heard what was happening. He saw the commotion. He sent out soldiers, and the word uses centurions. A centurion was in charge of 100 soldiers, so we don't know how many soldiers were sent, but at least two centurions, because it uses plural, so at least 200 Roman soldiers, they came pouring out. Paul was being beaten up on the outside of the temple, and when they saw the Roman soldiers, they stopped beating Paul up, and these Roman soldiers, actually... Saint Paul from being killed by the mob. And so they took him. They didn't know what was happening. They just knew there was a riot and they had to squelch it. So they got Paul. They put him in chains. They didn't know what he'd done. They didn't know the cause of anything that happened. But they put the guy in chains. They carried him through the crowd. And evidently, you know, I don't know if he was beat up so bad or the crowd was just still trying to get him. They put him up and they carried him up the stairs up of the Tower of Antonio. As they were taking Paul into the barracks, Paul calmly said, may I say something to you? Well, the tribune was shocked because he thought Paul was an Egyptian rebel that had escaped not too long ago after leading a rebellion against Roman authority. And so when he heard him speaking Greek, he knew that what he assumed was not right. And so the tribune gave him permission to speak. And Paul told him, I'm a Jew from Cilicia Tarsus in Cilicia. I'm a citizen of no obscure city. And maybe in the word citizen, he was implying that he was a Roman citizen. And so when he saw Paul's calmness, his demeanor, in spite of everything that he'd gone through, Paul said, can I speak to the crowd? And he gave him permission. And then Paul on that day shared his testimony and proclaimed the gospel to more of his fellow Jews than probably at any other time in his life. He told them he'd been trained under the most revered rabbi, Gamaliel. He'd been a zealot, and the word is not really an adjective. It's a zealot. It's who you are. He said, I've been a zealot in Jerusalem like you today. And he said, I persecuted the church. The people of the way, and I persecuted men and women. I was indiscriminate in my persecution. He said, I was going to Damascus to arrest people, and there I met the Lord. I met Jesus. He struck me off my horse. He blinded me. And notice there's a detail that's not in Acts 9. It was noon, so it would have been a bright, sunny day. But then the light was brighter than that Paul saw. The light blinded him. And Paul said, who are you, Lord? And there Paul said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Immediately Paul confessed him as Lord. And so the difference between Paul and this mob began to show. He said, a man named Ananias met me and instructed me on following Jesus, and God through him gave me my sight back. And so the most vocal and active persecutor of the church became the most ardent supporter and proclaimer of the gospel. And so Paul on that day stood before them and he gave his defense. And that word is interesting. And you know, he really didn't defend himself, but he gave the reasons that he was a Christian. And he shared the gospel. You know, when we talk about Paul, and you talk about the times that he defended himself, he never really defended himself that much. Usually he proclaimed the gospel. He preached the gospel. You see, a lot of times when we find ourselves in difficult circumstances, the only thing that we can think of, I got to get out of these difficult circumstances. Here's what we should think. God, how do you want to work in my life and work through me in the midst of these circumstances? You see, not just how do I get out of them, but how can you work in my life? How can I become more like Jesus? How can I share the gospel with people? How can I bring glory to your name? In the most difficult circumstances of his life, Paul shared the gospel with more Jews than he'd ever shared with before. Now, he didn't have thousands saved, you know. He didn't offer the invitation and thousands came down the aisle. No, when they heard him mention that God was sending him to the Gentiles, the riot started up again. And he was taken in there. They were getting ready to scourge him because the tribune still did not know the cause of the riot. He couldn't figure out what's going on here. And so he said, I can't, the crowd's not telling me, so I'll just beat it out of Paul. And so Paul had to tell him he was a Roman citizen and basically say, is what you're doing legal? And it stopped Paul from being beaten with the scourge because he was a Roman citizen. And God protected him and helped him on that day. You know, the scourge usually killed the people that it was applied to. But see, in the midst of the most difficult circumstances of life, God used him in a way greater than he ever had. And this was just the beginning, you know. You know, a lot of the Bible that you read today, most of the New Testament was written when Paul was in, you know, a lot of it was written, not maybe not most of what he wrote, but much of what he wrote was written when he was in prison because of his faith in Jesus. We wouldn't have had the book of Philippians or Ephesians or Colossians, the four prison epistles. The most difficult circumstances of life, God used in a great way. Now, I know some of you are going through some pretty tough times. Talk to you about it, and I pray for you, and I feel for you. I want to tell you, first of all, they won't last forever, okay? Don't give in to the discouragement or despair that you might feel today because of the discouraging times you're going through. They won't last forever. It will get better. But I want to also tell you that God can work through your circumstances. And the question you need to be asking is not so much, Lord, how do I get out of these circumstances? But Lord, what do you want to teach me? And how can you glorify yourself in what I'm going through? I don't want to make light of your circumstances. I don't want to be flippant. I know that during the difficult times of my life, God has taught me maybe more than during the great times of my life. And you know what happens to me when I go through difficult? This is my prayer. Lord, whatever you're trying to do through my life right now, please help me to learn it because I don't want to go through this stuff again. Have you ever been there? I bet you have. Difficult circumstances happen to us all, but we can bear witness to Jesus and we can bring glory to God if we'll walk with God and His people today. Are you walking with God? Are you saying every day, Lord, I want to live for you? You know, you got to walk with God. You got to believe in Jesus today. And that, you know, believing in Jesus, there is a beginning point, but then there's the day. Every day you decide, I'm going to believe in Jesus. I'm going to walk with Him today. And then are you walking with His people? Because you can't know God's will apart from His people. We need other people to help us to know God's will. We need each other. I need you and you need me. But we can bear witness to Jesus and we bring glory to God if we'll remember to walk with Him today, if we'll remember that whatever happened to us unexpectedly did not come unexpectedly to God, and if we'll remember that God will use us if we trust Him whatever we're going through. And He might use us in the greatest way, and we might learn more about Him through these circumstances than we have in all the other stuff that's happened in our lives. You see, life circumstances, difficult circumstances, provide opportunity for us to declare the good news of Jesus and the glory of God, and help us to become more like Jesus and grow closer to the Lord. Let's pray again. Father, we love You and we thank You for Your love. And Lord, I want to pray especially for those, Lord, this is not just some theoretical thing. Life right now is very hard for them. Life is hard. And Lord, they are troubled. And Lord, I pray that You would meet them in the midst of their trouble and help them to walk with You. And I pray that You'd give them wisdom in facing whatever they will face. And I pray that You, through their lives, would show how great Jesus is. And I pray that You would just work through them in a mighty and miraculous way. Father, I pray for those today who don't believe, who never have believed. I pray that today they put their trust in You. Lord, I pray that they'd know that they can't save themselves. They're sinners. And what they deserve, Jesus took on the cross when He died in their place. And I pray that they would believe in Him and what He did for them, and that He's alive and living. He conquered death, never to die again. I ask You to work. Lord, we love You. And we thank You, Lord, that when we don't understand, You are always there to help us through whatever we face. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.